message today is testify. And we're coming out of Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 through 10. And I'm reading it from the NIV version. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We know this was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. It was written to encourage them to continue to grow in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Spirit, not just knowledge, but spiritual knowledge and understanding. Because we can go to all kind of colleges. We can get our doctorates, masters, all of that, and get knowledge, worldly knowledge, secular knowledge. But the knowledge of the spiritual understanding of God is the knowledge that will take us from glory to glory. And we just want to thank God that He doesn't just give it to us just a little bit. He said, if you ask, I will grant it to you liberally. That means He'll give you an abundance of whatever it is that you need. He will give it to you. We know there are many aspects of this Christian walk that please God. Pastor Forney's been teaching on it about prayer. And then here comes Pastor Savage right behind him. What does he teach about? Fellowship and then worship. So I'm going to touch on testify. A lot of times we think testifying is on Wednesday night service only. But we testify of His glory when we woke up clothed in our right mind with a portion of our health and strength, able to move because He gave us the ability to move. Some of us got aches and pains, may not be able to lift a leg as high as we used to, but be praise be to glory. We can still move. Look at Sister Doris back there waving her hand. Look at Brother Charles, turned 73. Oh, and he's still yet walking. Look at Brother Charles. He had a birthday. God graced you. Yes, He did. He graced you with another year. And we want to thank Him for that. We want to thank Him. I just remember back at my church in Chicago, it was called Greater Mount Carmel, under the leadership of Pastor O.L. James, who's gone on home to be with the Lord. But we had a mother in the church. Her name was Mother Robinson. And whenever the preacher was preaching or a song was being sung or somebody was testifying, she'd say, tell it. And I used to wonder, what does she mean, tell it? Tell what? Tell of the goodness of God. Tell what He's done for you. Tell of His power. Tell of His mercy. Tell of His grace. Tell it. She used to say, tell it. And I'd look at her and I remember her. And that often comes to my mind. And right now I want to play a little snippet of one of my favorite commercials. You guys know the actor in this commercial. And his name is Will Ferrell. You've probably seen it, the PayPal commercial. And watch what he does. Just look at this.
Excuse me, are you shopping online while standing in line?
Yeah.
Me too. I just bought a croquet set using PayPal.
Cool.
And PayPal lets me choose how I pay.
Oh. You're not going to sing again, are you?
What? No.
Okay.
You can pay your own way.
Here we are again.
Pay your own way.
I use PayPal to buy this ticket, and I'm paying it off in 4 payments. No fees, no interest.
You know what else has no interest? Me.
You can pay your own way.
And after looking at this commercial, some of us think it's hilarious. Well, Will Ferrell is one of my favorite actors, especially in the movie Elf. He's a big dude, and he kind of can intimidate you because of his size, but that's not his purpose. He comes in this particular commercial, the main objective is to advertise and get people to buy merchandise, right? In this case, they're talking about using PayPal. Instead of me just going and writing a check or taking money out of my pocket, we're going to use PayPal. So he's advertising this. So that people can, and then there are other ways when you advertise, you not only advertise about merchandise, but you advertise ideas. And when we watch a commercial, what do we do? What do? We go out and buy whatever it is they're advertising, don't we? Even though we don't need it, we still go out and buy it. So the spirit, there's a spiritual takeaway to this commercial. Is to testify, to witness to the others about the goodness of God. So he's testifying about what PayPal can do for you. We're going to testify about what God can do for you. What he's already done for you. That's a testimony in itself. When they were up here singing, the praise team was singing, when Sister Sandra got up here and stole some of my message, that was testifying. It's all a part of praise, worship, and fellowship. It all goes together. It's sort of like, you know, when I was a kid, we used to sing Three Blind Mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. I can't sing, but anyway, that was this fellowship, praise, prayer, and worship, and testimony all go together. We testify every day. We may not do it. Let me rephrase that. We have the opportunity to testify every day, but we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Time. Oh, I ain't got time for that. Oh, she ain't gonna receive this. But it ain't up to us to say whether she's gonna receive it or not, is it? No, it's not. And then as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should be doing what? Walking, living, and talking. Be living advertisements for God and his kingdom. We should be living. It says, don't just hear the word, but be doers of the word. Be doers. So there's another mother at the church. Her name was Mother Thomas. And she used to always say, and I didn't understand it when I was younger, but now I do. She used to say, talking right and walking left. You understand what that means? You're talking the right way, but your walk ain't lining up with your talk. It ain't lining up. And some of us as Christians, we claim to be Christians, and I can't say whether you are or whether you're not. Only God knows. But our talk will advertise whether we are or not. I'm not here to judge you. I can't judge nobody because God said that's for him to do, to judge. But I mean, I can look and say, well, hey, she says she's a Christian, but is she living like one? Is she walking like one? Is she talking like one? So that just brings it back to when we look in the mirror, who do you see? Who do you see? Because Sister Carol, who do you see when you look in the mirror? Who do you see? Who do you see? You see Carol? You see Carol? Yes, you see Carol. Who do you see, Sister Chazem? Who do you see? Yourself and your mama? Okay. When I look in this mirror, let me see who I see. Let me see who I see. I see Sister Diane being transformed by the renewal of my mind, being the reflection of Jesus Christ. Day after day, I should be getting to look more like Jesus. I should take on the characteristics of Jesus. Every day, you might see this face that's began to get wrinkles, but that's okay. I'm still alive. But every day, you shouldn't be looking at the wrinkles. You shouldn't be looking at how slow I may be walking now, but looking at the characteristics that are being built up in me to make me look more and more and more like Jesus each and every day. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, what are we admonished to do? To follow the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Let's read it together. Melody, can you? I'm sorry, I didn't ask you to put that up there, and I don't have my Bible up here. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Pastor, can you read that? That's the Great Commission. What are we supposed to be doing as disciples of Jesus Christ? Tell it.
And on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
So when you go, are you by yourself? No. He said he's with you. Who's with us? Jesus. What are we supposed to be doing? Going and doing what? Making disciples. Can we do that sitting on our at home? Can we do that sitting here just in New Joy on Sunday mornings? No. No. So we've got to go, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're at the hospital, whether we just walking down the street, or walk across the street to your neighbor's house. Walk next door. Most of us don't even know, and I'm telling on myself, don't even know our neighbors. We don't know our neighbors. I was telling Sister Manita yesterday, the community that I grew up in, we were truly a community. Everybody knew everybody. Now they don't need to know them. They don't need to know my business. But we have become so divided. So divided that we don't trust nobody. And sometimes it's good that you don't trust a certain some people. But one thing I know, we can trust God. And let the Holy Spirit give you a spirit of discernment to lead you to somebody. Every day we should be able to touch somebody. If it's on our computer, on our telephone, we don't have to go outside our house. Some of us can't go out as freely as we used to. But you can get on that phone. I'm telling on myself, I get on that phone, I'm playing games. And then when it come up on my phone, your computer time was, oh my goodness. Because I done been on that phone playing games when I could have been utilizing that time to testify, to tell of the goodness of God. When we look at a coin, what's on the back of a coin? What's on the back of the coin? I don't have a coin. In God we trust. Yes, Sister Benita. That brings me to my remembrance, the story of the three Hebrew boys. What were their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and I used to think they said a billy goat. But it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they showed their unwavering faith and trust in God in the face of adversity and even death by being thrown where? Into the fiery furnace. But who was with them? Three went in, but they saw how many walking around? Four. So that let you know that God was with them. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will love you. I will be with you until the ends of time. How is your faith and where does your trust lie? How's your faith? That's a personal question. You don't have to answer. Answer yourself. How's your faith? My faith had fallen. But you know what? Because my God is faithful. He received me back like the prodigal son. He received me back. He still loves you even when you have not been faithful. He loves you when you make mistakes. He don't like what you did. And yeah, you're going to suffer some consequences sometimes. I ain't going to tell you he's going to just pat you on the back and say, oh, that's okay, Diane. Go on. No, you're gonna suffer some consequences behind your actions. So know that. Just like a child, just like my grandson. He be in the house, just reaping havoc. Toys everywhere. I said, Jameer. And he ignores me. Just like we do God. I said, boy, I know you hear me. And then he looked. I said, pick up them toys. I said, pick up them toys. And then he goes on, and he might pick up one or two, then he go back to playing. I say, get over there and pick up them toys. And that's how God have to do us sometimes. Sometimes we moving in the wrong direction. He said, get on back over there. Get on over there. That ain't where you supposed to be. That ain't what you supposed to be doing. And, you know, when we testify, like I said, in songs, the songs, and Sister Sandra, That's my sister, yes. We have been through some of the same trials and tribulations, so we can relate to one another on certain things. And I just want to testify about the goodness of God. I've been through literal fires, literal floods. I've been through death of a loved one. And guess who was with me? Jesus. But not only was Jesus, but he sent some folks alongside them to come and see about me. And I have to just thank my pastor and my first lady. These are truly men and women of God. They have the heart and the mind of Christ. They don't just talk the talk. They ain't talking right and walking left. Whatever they tell you, they're going to do it. They are in the trenches with us. Sometimes when you're in war, the commanders tell you to go do that. Go on to the front line. And they back here somewhere. No. No. That's not our pastor. That's not our first lady. They are there with you. When my house flooded, we had just left church and got home, water pouring out the front door, pouring out. And I'm like, what is going on? Get inside, everything wet from the middle room, Christmas tree, presents under the tree, everything soaking wet. And who came? They were there. When my son passed, and I didn't know what to do, I had buried mother and father, but it's nothing, not like burying a child. Who was there? Sister Monita. She stood there with me. She said, sis, what is it you need? What can I help you do? She was there. I cannot tell no better than this, because you were there. And sometimes people might look at me and say, she don't appreciate this. But I do. I appreciate you all. I appreciate my New Joy family. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm testifying about the goodness of God that through you, he uses people. He uses people. We are instruments and vessels to be used for the glory of God. So don't sell yourself short. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, he can use you. He can use you. Sister Adrian, I guess she's in the nursery back there. She gets online and she posts the most encouraging information about the walk she has with God, how God is taking her through, how he has taken her from over here and he's brought her here. He is lining her up. He's going to use that woman in a mighty way. He is going to use her in a mighty, mighty way. Because God can use anybody. He can use anybody. I never thought I'd be standing up here. And I turned and I ran from it for a long time. But God said, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop running. There's something in you that you don't see. But I see it. There's something in you that I can use. There's something in each and every one of us that he can use. He can use us, people. And what matters most to God is that we trust him, that we pray, and that we walk in obedience, that we worship one with another. Do not forsake yourselves the gathering. When I fell short, I didn't forsake myself the gathering. My body was here, but my mind was. But as long as I stayed under the umbrella, under the umbrella, I didn't get wet. I didn't drink. But God, and as long as we love one another, he says to love ye one another as I have loved you. Love is the key. Love is the key. Love sums it all up. It ain't about your education. It ain't about your social status on Facebook, on Twitter, on all of them other avenues that I can't name. But it's not about how many likes you get on Facebook. It ain't about your creed, your nationality, your background, your bank account, your lack of a bank account. It ain't about none of that. It's all about trusting God. That's what matters to him. And I'm going to take it back just a moment, and then I'll be done. Because Brother Charles say I stay too long. No. But I'm going to take it back for a minute. In Colossians, can you put the scripture back up in Colossians where it said the Spirit gives understanding? You can read and read all day long, and it's just black words or a white paper, but the Spirit gives you understanding. So when you get ready to study, and study is a part of it, study, Bible study, all of that is a part of it, but when you get ready to study, make sure you ask the Spirit to open up your powers of understanding, that you may receive wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God's word. And that way, you'll be able to live a life that's worthy of the Lord and please him. Please him. I ask God all the time, help me to be pleasing in your sight. Because some of us are so worried about what we look like to man. what we look like to that one on Facebook, but it said to be pleasing in his sight. And then once we've accomplished that, we're supposed to do something else. Bear fruit. Bear fruit by witnessing, by testifying, by telling of the goodness of God. And then you can grow in his knowledge and grow in his wisdom, grow in his understanding. And as a result of that, we are helping to grow the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I'm going to leave you with 3 points. And point one is, let your walk match your talk. Number two, be fruit-bearing disciples. Bear fruit for God's kingdom, not for your own pocket. Because so many of these, I hate to say it, but it's true, these preachers out here, it's about lining their pockets. But we're supposed to be bearing fruits for God's kingdom. And continue. You never know too much. As old as I am, and I ain't going to tell you how old, but anyway. As old as I am, I still learn something all the time. When I was teaching in pre-K, I learned from a 3- and 4-year-old. I learned from Jameer sometimes. He'll look at me like, Grandma, what is you doing? You know? And then I'm like, oops. And so just continue growing in wisdom and knowledge of God that you may be able to look more like Jesus. And when you look in that mirror, you'll be able to see him more and more each and every day. Each and every day. Take on the characteristics of Jesus, which is love, love, love. I thank you.